Do please be seated. Well, maybe at this time of year, around St. David's Day, it's fair to ask, what is it that makes Wales so great? I wonder how you might choose to answer that question. Well, on Friday, St. David's Day itself, in Parliament, Stephen Crabb, MP for Preseli Pembrokeshire, gave a speech, and his point was, what makes Wales so great? He said five things. Number one, sport. And of course, after last Saturday afternoon, who would disagree? It's been very easy, hasn't it, to spot the Welsh around London this week, the ones with the rather large grins on their faces. I particularly enjoyed the player ratings in the Sunday Times last week. Liam Williams, fullback, 10 out of 10, absolutely monumental. What more needed to be said? And of course, the rest of the boys didn't do too badly either. My son, not this one, but the other one, gets a very hard time at school for being Welsh, especially from his PE teacher. So my son, he was very pleased on Monday morning to walk up to that teacher in the dining hall, remove from his jacket a rather large leek and present it to his PE teacher. So sport makes Wales great. Number two, the spirit of community. And many of us, I think, would testify to that. We found that spirit of friendliness and community in Wales that draws people together. Number three, from Stephen Crabb MP, the landscape. Can't argue with that, I think. Snowdonia, Brecon Beacons, the coastline, and so much more. Number four, he chose to say the Welsh in the armed forces. And then number five, he said the language, of course. Such beauty. And once the language of heaven finds a place in your heart, it will never leave. And the thing is, of course, there's much he didn't say, isn't there? We could no doubt talk about that. The Christian heritage, the Bara Brith, the Welsh cakes, the singing, so much more. Well, this afternoon in our gospel reading, Jesus is doing something similar. He's not describing Wales, but he is describing his kingdom, as he calls it, the kingdom of heaven. And he wants us to know how great that kingdom is. So let's listen in, take up the orders of service. You'll find the reading, the short one, printed there for us. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." I mean, they're easy enough to understand, these parables, aren't they? First of all, the kingdom, like a treasure hidden in a field, and this man comes across it. We're not told how he finds it. You might like to think he found a scrap of paper blowing in the wind with a map on it. X marks the spot. Or maybe far more straightforwardly, he was going for an afternoon walk, stubbed his toe on something hard, and however it happened, he then dug down. Maybe there was a chest, which as he got up and he opened it and looked inside. And sure enough, treasure. But of course, as Jesus tells that parable, the only problem is that man doesn't own the field. Therefore, by rights, nor does the treasure. So what is he to do? Well, quickly bury the chest once more. Get his wallet out. The notes in there won't go very far. He's got a nice car, but that's going to have to go. But still not enough. Well, he's built up savings for the rainy day. But, well, this is it. Add that all to the pot. But still, not enough. There's obviously his home, which is his pride and joy, but also his security. Still, in that goes, but still not enough. Last thing he's got, the pension, which he could cash in. He does. Everything must go for the sake of this treasure. Jesus is asking us a question, really, as he tells us this parable. Do you know of anything as valuable as that? Anything so great you would give everything to have it? Jesus says that's his kingdom. That's what his kingdom is like. Well, after the man in field, we then hear of a merchant in search of fine pearls. We can imagine this trader, if you like, at home here in the Square Mile. He's comfortable in the markets, he knows what he's after, and he does reasonably well out of it all. But like many traders, he dreams dreams. It's what gets him out of bed in the morning. Will he find that pearl, the like of which will never have been seen before? And then one day he does. He can't believe his eyes. There's been nothing like it ever. He can't stop looking at it. And he knows this is the one. He must have it. So he cashes in everything else that he has and buys that pearl. On Friday evening, BBC Wales aired a documentary entitled Full Contact. You may have seen it. It looked back on the illustrious career of former Wales rugby captain Sam Warburton. And it turns out that when Sam was a young teenager, his father once asked him that if he ever made it as a rugby player, what would he be happy with? It turns out, you find out, in the father's mind, he was just wondering if maybe, just maybe, Sam would say that he might get one Welsh cap one day. Turns out that 14-year-old Sam Warburton replied, quick as a flash, I wouldn't be happy unless I was a Lions legend. And today he is. And yet you keep watching the programme, and it's striking that later, as Sam Warburton reflects on his career and is talking into the camera, he then says he's come to realise, quote, there's more important things in life than rugby. More important things in life. Now, there are many, many very good things in this world to enjoy. Apparently, even non-Welsh people can enjoy them as well. And maybe we, that's our experience, we have managed to achieve some of these things that we've been pursuing. And good as they may have been, we still think, well, is there more? But if there is, what? What are these more important things to life? And Jesus, it seems, agrees there is more. But more than that, Jesus dares to say what that more is. He says that what is of true, lasting value that we mustn't go without is to know him. Now, it's often observed, isn't it, that Christianity is in decline in this country as in Wales. It certainly no longer has the influence it once had on society or daily life. And so for many today, the only associations they now have with Christianity or church are, well, if you ask them, what would they think? Well, it's all a bit old-fashioned, maybe a bit dull, completely irrelevant to life today. In fact, a lot of them, I think, can't really imagine why anyone would choose to sit through church services. But contrasted to that, Jesus says, treasure. Now, today, Jesus is still held up as a model of humility to be imitated, and of course, that's right, I would agree. And yet here we find Jesus daring to claim very boldly that what is of most value, more valuable than all else the world has to offer, is to be in his kingdom. Now, obviously, the question that follows from all this is, well, how can membership of Jesus' kingdom be so valuable? And these words are taken from Matthew's gospel, and obviously you'd have to read the rest to find out. And if you did, you could see that these parables, these sentences from Jesus, come in the middle of two other parables, both of which Jesus looks to the future. He speaks of this coming day, a day when it'll actually be very plain who is in his kingdom and who isn't. And on that day, it'll be very obvious. Our personal wealth will be long gone. Our achievements will count for very little. On that day, what'll matter is, are we in his kingdom or not? Now, some here will hear what Jesus says now with a heavy heart, I think. Maybe some of us, we can't dismiss Jesus. We can tell there's something to him. Maybe these people wonder, they know they should take these Christian things a little bit more seriously. But in the end, why do they think that? Is it just that nagging sense of, well, that insurance policy, just in case eternity turns out as Jesus says? Maybe we should just make sure. But then you hear Jesus talk of selling everything, and it all just feels so costly. They just don't want to do that. But just look again at that man in the field. Look what Jesus says about him, verse 44. In his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. In his joy. I wonder, does that reflect our experience at all? To this man, if you like, it's a no-brainer, as they say. Oh yes, it'll cost everything, which on the outside looks so costly. But he will do it, but not through gritted teeth, because he has found what is of true value. It is worth it. And this man will tell us it's not just about the future. Actually, it's about now. Again, in Matthew, just a couple of chapters earlier, Jesus makes this offer. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Well, again, another bold, audacious claim for Jesus that your soul, who you are really deep down, longing for rest, Jesus says, I can deliver. Come to him. You can know him, he says. Have that forgiveness. Have that life. Have all that really matters. Many today will be like that man in the field. It looks like he wasn't really looking for anything on that day, which could be us, even in a church building this afternoon. You wouldn't really say you're looking for spiritual enlightenment, more than enough on your plate already. But maybe, in all that busyness of life, as you listen to Jesus, what have you stumbled on? Is it worth pursuing? Or maybe we'll say we're more like that merchant. That is, we are searching in Jesus' categories for meaning, for purpose, for what counts. And yet people can still do that, even sitting in a church like this, and miss what is right in front of them. Jesus says it's him. The value is to be found in knowing him personally. Well, obviously, Jesus is giving these brief snippets to encourage his hearers to investigate further, to find out, can Jesus possibly deliver on these outrageous claims? Now, obviously, copies of Matthew's Gospel all around the church, those are free to take. You'd be welcome. And I wonder, have you read one more recently? I guess some of us did that as a child, maybe made to do it. But why not now keep it in a pocket or a handbag? And maybe in that moment you're stuck on a train, have a look again. And ask the questions, can knowing Jesus really be that valuable? And I think those of us here at St. Bennet's, well, we are very proud, obviously, of our Welsh connections. We know the saying, to be Welsh is to be born privileged, not with a silver spoon in your mouth, but with music in your heart and poetry in your soul. And yet more than that, we have come to see the value of knowing Jesus. That's why we meet each week, because we want to know him better, to find out more about him, and to know the difference that makes today and into the future. Not because we have to, but in our joy. And we want others to share in that joy too. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field."